Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, the Manager Tools Promotion Standard, 150%, part one of two. Well, we're going to talk about getting directs promoted today, but wouldn't you agree, though, that not everyone wants to get promoted? I mean, is there danger us talking about it as if everybody wants to get promoted?
I don't think it's dangerous from the standpoint of, yeah, there are some people that don't want to get promoted, and that's a good thing because, of course, the pyramid gets narrower, right, or the triangle gets narrower. Not everybody can, right? And look, it's not just that there aren't enough slots. It's also that some folks have reached the reasonable extent of their desire and their abilities. You know, unfortunately, a lot of that, I think, has to come from managers and executives who sort of bragging, complain how hard their job is. There are a number of, I think, emotional factors that lead to managers and directors go, oh, you wouldn't want this, or it's not that good. I think it adds to the air of exclusivity of the role, which is silly.
Yeah, that's true. I bet you folks listening here would expect that we would say that the direct who wants to get promoted but can't is the biggest development or career tragedy in organizations today. But that's not true. It only comes
Yeah, that's absolutely not true. Right. The biggest tragedy is managers who won't get them ready to be promoted. I really don't think the problem is people who can't get promoted. I think the problem is managers not doing their job. And look, to be fair, we know there's plenty to do in a job, and we know that nobody's ever talked about this before. Or if they talk about it, they talk about it to executives or to HR people whose purpose is to come up with some sort of organization-wide way of dealing with it. But, you know, you can count on two or three hands the number of companies that truly do really, really good succession planning and who throughout the organization, managers know their role therein. Look, when somebody has the ability and the desire, if you or I are a manager, dude, we fail the organization. And I don't mean just the direct now. I mean, obviously, if you're my boss and I want to get promoted and I can't get promoted, yeah, there are cases where certainly I'm responsible. But if you're not doing anything to help me, then obviously you're failing me. But you're also failing the organization when you don't do what you can to help me achieve what I want. And look, we're not suggesting that because we want it to be all about the direct, right? It's not. You know, a direct who is capable of doing more and willing to do more is a great thing. Why would, you know, the opposite of that is somebody who's not willing to do more or somebody who's not capable of doing more, both of which are very bad things, right? You know, from a standpoint of organizational costs or organizational systemic people development inside the company, internal salary compression makes any internal promotion cheaper than an external hire. Their knowledge, you know, the director who wants to get promoted, their knowledge of the company systems and processes makes them smarter, and their network of people is essentially a monetizable goodwill factor in terms of their hiring, right? An internal hire, getting somebody promoted, versus an external hire, bringing somebody in from the outside. So if you don't cultivate my interest and abilities, you know, it's that old joke about sailing, right? If you want to see what sailing is like, stand fully clothed in a cold shower and tear up $100 bills, right?
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't get me ready, you know, you might as well be tearing up $1,000 bills that you're going to have to give to somebody else. You're going to have to pay more in salary, more in learning, more in systemic knowledge. And maybe there is somebody who's better than me. Certainly it happens, right? Somebody's making a lateral move and you can avoid taking the risk of promoting me because, as we'll talk about later, there's the Peter Principle to consider. But I would argue in 90% of the cases, there is no way to match. The cost of the external hire is so much bigger, but it all turns on managerial behavior, right? Essentially, what we're doing is we're exchanging managerial behavior for cash. If more managers did what we need to do, then it would cost less because we could hire internally, promote from within, rather than hire externally.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's talk about what do we need to do to get our directs ready so that when there is an opening, they're going to already have won it. What do we do? How do we do that?
That's a great, you know, the way you say that, they already have won it. That's what you want, right? Right? You don't want to put your person into a situation where there's four people interviewing and it could go to any four. You want your guy, your gal to be a no-brainer.
Oh, right? Absolutely. I want, and you could do I, that. Yeah, right? You said it right. I want my gal or guy to be the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to cheat, but I'm more than willing to over-prepare them so that it's a walk in the park for them when the decision's actually made. Okay. So we've got 5 points to make. First, we want to start out with sharing the Manager Tools promotion standard, which is 150% of a direct's existing job. Then we're going to tell you here's how, and we're going to talk about delegation and visibility and coaching and actually reassigning some of their responsibilities. And then we want to cover 3 other points that are related to this. We understand this is a third point is a very high standard and few people meet it, although the great companies do. Most managers, generally speaking, only try to get to 100% and frankly don't get to 100. And then lastly, something that I think people miss, which is you and I have alluded to the idea sometime in the future when we clone ourselves and we can get to executive tools, you know, your direct's successes when they get promoted is a huge part of the perception of your executive skills by others. If you are known as not just achieving results, but also developing the capabilities of the organization, that's what makes you a great executive, or that's one of the things that's required to be a great executive.
Right.
So we'll talk about all 5 of those things.
Excellent. Okay. So let's talk about this 150% thing, because isn't it true that the standard is for somebody getting promoted is simply to do their job better than anyone else? Doesn't that work?
Yeah. I want to save a little bit. I don't want to make this cast about the Peter Principle. We'll talk about that, about the Peter Principle later. But look, the standard is not just doing one's job better than everybody else.
And you say that by stating that the Managed Tools promotion standard is 150% of their existing job. So go on, tell me what we mean by that.
Yeah, well, first of all, just to be clear, what it means is you've got to do 100% of your existing job, and you also have to do 50% of the boss's job. So if I work for you, I got to prove to you I can do all of my job well, maybe not all of it better than everybody else, but I have to do 100% of it well. I have to meet the standard, and then I have to do 50% of your job. If you're going to adopt a standard that will really, truly be an executive standard and build the capabilities of the organization to do what effective executives and effective managers do, you're going to ask somebody to do 50% of your job as well to prove, so that we don't have to guess when we promote them, to prove that they can do the next level job. Look, the idea of first among equals, or hey, if Mark and Michael and Wendy and Maggie all work for Ozan, if that's the case, the standard, what happens is it's so easy to think about the idea of head-to-head competition. It's an easy sort of natural measuring stick. It's an easy criterion to apply. It's like, okay, let's just figure who's best. And the problem with that, as we've talked before, we alluded to at least, we talk about a lot with clients. The problem with that is it's very similar to hiring standards in that let's hire the best person. The better criterion is to achieve some standard. And look, there's a case to be made that we know what the standard is, which is let's look at the last 30 people who got promoted. Let's do, you know, to this level of job, whatever it is. Let's look at the 10 who were good, the 10 who were average, and the 10 who were bad. And let's attempt to figure out what made the good ones good and the bad ones bad. And by the way, just looking at the ones who are good is probably not enough if we're going to really use evidence-based management. So we've got to be careful. It's easy to do. The phraseology is endless. The horse race, you know, first among equals, all kinds of things that come from the world of sports, right? Seems to make sense. And yet, you know, gosh, if we started applying management principles to the world of sports, that wouldn't be good in all cases. But somehow it's totally reasonable for us to apply sports analogies to management all the time. So rather than saying he's my best guy, right, which is standard, right, smart managers set a standard for the direct, an external standard, and said, hey, you got to meet this. It doesn't matter if you're my best. If you're not here, it's not good enough. Because, you know, we've heard it before, you know, you're the tallest midget in the room. Well, if the standard is to be 6 feet tall, you know, not that we promote based on height, but if you're the tallest midget in the room, that would have been, well, okay, I should get promoted, right? If I want to get promoted, I'm the best among equals, first among equals, I should get promoted. Well, of course, that, you know, that has nothing to do with the next job and whether or not you can do the next job. So to effective managers, it sounds less like he's my top guy and more like, okay, look, you've got to nail your review this year and deliver on these 3 things that are really, really important at the firm. You've got to do project management, you got to do relationship building, you got to do analytical thinking. I'm going to help you get those this year. It's going to be challenging, but I think you can do it with the right work and the right attitude and the right effort. And the right work and the right attitude and the effort, by the way, what I'm talking about is you and not me. It's going to be you doing the work, you having the attitude, and you taking the effort to show that you're capable of doing more. So it really is about achieving a standard versus being the best.
We don't have an issue of them being the best, right? About
yeah, sure, right? I mean, look, if you achieve the standard and you're the best, woohoo, good, you know, lovely. But if you start with the best, it's a really limiting mindset. And what happens is it stifles the idea that different directs may be ready for different promotions to different areas of the firm. By definition, only one of your directs can be the best. That means others are numbers 2, 3, or 4, you know. If we're using a sports analogy, you know, who gets the gold medal and who doesn't, right? By comparing to a standard, who can do their job brilliantly and do a good bit of the stuff that's required at my level, at least functionally, you can actually expand the number of directs who could be promotable, and you can talk to your directs about their promotability differently than, oh, you've got to be first. And, you know, it just as we're talking about right now, this is, I may be going really far out on a limb, but I've got to figure, it just occurred to me that there are managers out there who use the first among equals or the best person working for me as their mentality, because they think about it, they talk about it, right? Because our filters aren't as good as they could be with our directs. What ends up happening is you end up saying who the best person is. And by definition, the numbers 2, 3, and 4, or everybody who's not the best, there's first and then everybody else is sort of tied for last. You know what happens? They then hear that they're not going to get promoted, right?
Yep.
If they believe their boss thinks that it's first among equals, by definition, you're saying you're not promotable.
Yeah. I've fallen into that before as well, and I suspect that a lot of people do. So when you start talking about it, although we really didn't highlight it in the show notes, that flashed in my mind as terribly important. Matter of fact, I'll go out on a limb more than you did and say that may be the single most important thing you'll say all this cast.
Yeah. Okay, good. And it wasn't even in the notes, right?
I think it's that
right.
Big.
Yeah. Well, look, think about your history, right? If you have a guy like Mark Madigan working for you, it's easy, right? It's easy to go, man, he's good.
Yeah, but I also had right? Kathy Stoltz working.
And then you had Kathy Stoltz and Mike Morrisrow, and yeah. So, yeah. But if you're thinking Madigan is your best, and then the idea that Kathy Stoltz is somehow not promotable simply because Madigan is, that's a really limiting mindset.
Yep, crazy. But I find myself falling for that. So, yeah. Thanks for coaching me on this.
Yeah,
public
it's my
cast.
Pleasure. Absolutely, my pleasure. And completely unintentional, by the way. Okay, so look, but let's go a little bit more detail, right? So let's talk about what we mean when we say 100% of their job. And what we're really getting at here is top performance, right? And look, even there, top performance. When I say top performance, I don't really mean it. But that phrase, top, applies first among everybody, right? So really what we're talking about is high performance to the standard. Here's how you think about measuring it. Anybody who wants to be promoted must do their present job exceptionally well. Okay. Now, by the way, the exceptional word is different than top. I can be exceptional and Mike can be exceptional, but in two different ways, particularly if we're all doing different things, right? If we're peers. What we mean by 100% then is all of your existing job, all done well. Not mostly well, not really well on the important stuff and presentable and everything else. Everything done well. Now, again, I may not be, if I'm the one being considered for promotion, I may not be number one in every single thing, but I'm doing everything well. Okay. Now, here's the key. This is the standard, okay? It's certainly possible that you could justify promoting somebody who wasn't quite 100% in all areas, but that doesn't mean we go around publicizing a standard of do the best you can and hope you're ready when the call comes in. The fact is, top performers thrive on tough objectives, right? They don't want to be coddled. They don't want to be told that their poor performance is fine, but you're our kind of guy. You fit to the culture and we see you as an executive, right? I'm always impressed in large family-owned, even if it's private or if it's public and the family has controlling shares, whether people like that structure governance or not. I'm always impressed by family members who climb the ladder. And I've come to learn in lots of places that there are two different types of companies. Companies that the young family member is just being given a series of positions to learn about them and is going to get promoted, right? Because he or she is going to become a board member. And then those companies say, look, if you don't perform, you're not getting it, right?
Right.
And that's an impressive standard and a really high ethical bar to meet. So look, people who are really exceptional fear that a culture that promotes people who aren't ready will mean that their peers in the future, when they also become an executive, are going to be underpowered, right? The organization won't have A players for A problems, so to speak. So the first rule about promoting somebody is 100% of their job, expecting exceptional performance. Don't be afraid to ask for excellence from those who expect you to help get them promoted. Simple as that.
Yeah. And here's the problem is a lot of managers stop right there. Let me give you an example. You know, I've got Joe. He's a programmer that works for me, and he wants to get promoted. And he's absolutely the best programmer I have, hands down, right? But he can't run meetings. He never run a meeting in his life. He knows nothing about quality assurance, right? He knows nothing about project management because he's never had to project manage something larger than the individual piece of code he was working on. But he's the best programmer by far that I have. Is he ready for promotion to be a manager? Absolutely not. All the things that I just described are things he's going to have to do as a manager. And so the standard of 100% effective at your current job is clearly not enough unless we expect to promote people, put them in a job, and have them fail on day one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think too many managers make that mistake. And to be fair, we're not casting aspersions. We're simply saying, we know it's true. Let's solve the problem, right?
Right. So they got to be able to do 50% of your job if you want to
promote. Exactly. Yeah. And it's growability. I love that because you could be growable or not at any job, no matter how good your performance is in that job. There are people that are absolutely kicking butt and are not growable. And that's fine. But that means if they're not growable, then they're not promotable. Now, look, the first part of the standard, 100% of your job, exceptional performance, sounds hard, but frankly is really the easy part. Because none of your directs who are interested in role growth are going to say, I think it's unfair to expect me to do my present job so well just so I can earn a promotion.
Yeah. No, they're okay.
They're not going to say that, right? But they will balk at the idea of being asked to do some, and let's face it, in our model, a considerable amount of some of the boss's job. And look, the people who want to get promoted usually are not balking because they're going to shirk. They don't shirk work, right? They balk because the unwritten rule is be better than everybody else at your job, which I think a lot of us managers tend to propagate, right? But being better than everybody else at your job doesn't include doing the boss's job. Just be better than your peers. That's what most people think is the standard.
Right. And let's be clear here, because the reason that's true is because doing your boss's job requires different skills. It's not that your boss has to be better at doing what you do. The boss does different things. That's an important point. I just wanted to make sure folks got.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. There's some people who think, oh, he just does more than I do, or yeah. And while bosses often mistakenly lord the difference of their job over their directs, the fact is that the job is different. And when bosses are given feedback and they're so likely to say, oh, you can't possibly understand my job, they intend to be demeaning. But the fact is there are some things that you can't understand about the boss's job until you get there. But look, most people think the standard is be better than your peers. And in a way, it is the standard, right?
Right. If there's no agreed upon standard, it's yeah, you're de facto, right?
If there's not, yeah, exactly. So if you're lacking a de jure standard, right, the law, then we end up with a de facto standard. It just ends up being what it is. And again, this standard is easier for most of us who want to get promoted to understand because it only takes us comparing ourselves against our peers. And we can do that even if they do something different than us. But when you make the standard, the managerial standard, 150%, including 50% of the boss's job, things get harder for those of us who desire a promotion, right? Perhaps the best way to think it is it comprises two things out of our control. First, it takes us doing a job we're not paid for, the bosses, right? Second, it relies much more, and by the way, we haven't been evaluated for the boss's job yet, right? Second, it relies much more on other people's evaluation of our work, since I can't evaluate work that isn't mine routinely to do. It makes it much more likely that senior people or at least somebody above the boss has to be making the decision rather than just me saying, hey, I'm first among equals. I know my peers. I know roughly what to do, and I'm clearly the best, right? So it makes it much harder. Maybe it makes it a little bit more of a black box, but that's not what our intent is. It means that you can't win all by yourself. it takes others.
Yeah. Well, you can't anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This just makes it really clear. So you're less comfortable about it, exactly. But it's still true.
Yeah, let's call a spade, right? Yeah, exactly. So look, the manager's rule's promotion standard is 150%. The de facto promotion standard today is wrong. Promotion standards today in most, and let's say 95%+ companies, are based on transition. This is a key point. In other words, can this person make the jump to the higher job? It's the same standard most organizations ask when hiring somebody. Can we put them in the job? But if you remember, the manager tools hiring standard was set the bar high and promote beyond just the initial job so that you don't get somebody who's not growable, because you need people with a future capacity in order to build an organization that will endure, right? So the manager tools standard promotion standard is 150%. Develop your directs for excellence in their new role, not just for the transition. The key word there is excellence. You develop your directs who want to get promoted for excellence in the new role, not just to attain the new role and then start over from square one. Now, that said, 50% is a lot of the manager's job, right? In most cases, it's going to be too much, and you won't have to demand that someone wanting promotion meets 150%.
Oh, great. So nobody gets promoted then. Perfect.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, what will happen is the organization, here's the difference. I'm talking about what the manager ought, we were talking about what the manager ought to be thinking and behaving toward, but that's different from what the organization is going to do, right? The organization is going to see them at 125% and demand to take them off of our hands.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right?
Yeah, and that is totally our kind of problem. Our people are so good, the standard we're setting is so high, they get promoted early in a manner of speaking, right? Look, the idea, nevertheless, is to stretch your directs who want a promotion. Make them earn it. Don't give it to them. Make them work for it. And, you know, the phrase I like, that which we achieve too easily, we esteem too lightly. But the point is, if they earn it by your standard, when they get it, it will be easier. And as we'll tell you later, it's not whether or not your people get promoted that matters. It's whether or not they do well when they're promoted.
That's it, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll finish this one up next week. Hey, if you're in the New Jersey or New York area and you haven't heard of our Effective Manager Conference and Effective Communications Conferences coming to Newark on April 20th and 21st, check it out on the website, www.managertools.com. We'd love to have you join us and learn more about being an effective manager and being an effective communicator. All right, folks, we'll see you next week. So long.